Okay.
So word for word translation. Sri Bhagavan Vacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Kamyanam, with desire, Karmanam, of activities, Nyasam, renunciation, Sannyasam, the renounced order of life, Kavayaha, the learned. Sorry, I'm going to be too quick. No. Viduhu.
No.
Sarva.
Of all.
Karma.
Activities.
Phala.
Of results.
Tyagam.
Renunciation.
Prahu.
Call.
Tyagam.
Renunciation.
Vichaksanaha,
the
experienced.
Translation on board of the Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Founder and Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Ki Jai.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the giving up sorry, of activities that are based on material desire is what great learned men call the renounced order of life, sannyas. And giving up the results of all activities is what the wise call renunciation, tyaga. Purport. The performance of activities for results has to be given up. This is the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. But activities leading to advanced spiritual knowledge are not to be given up. This will be made clear in the next verses. In the Vedic literature, there are many prescriptions of methods for performing sacrifice for some particular purpose. Sorry. There are certain sacrifices to perform to attain a good son or to attain elevation to the higher planets. But sacrifices prompted by desire should be stopped. However, sacrifice for the purification of one's heart or for advancement in the spiritual science should not be given up. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Karmyanam Karmanam Nyasam Sanyasam Kavayo Vidu Sarva Karma Palatyagam Prahustyagam Vichaksanaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the giving up of activities that are based on material desire is what great learned men call the renounced order of life, sannyas. And giving up the results of all activities is what the wise call renunciation. Basically, I like the second sentence of the purport. Prabhupada is very, you know this word, succinct? This English word means like very concise with lots of information. You know. He says, the performance of activities for results has to be giving up. This is the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. So, in other words, Prabhupada is saying here that we should take sannyas, no fast. Although sannyas is not recommended in Kali Yuga. Because sannyas means to stop activities, material activities, basically. Sannyas means, says here very clear, the giving up of activities that are based on material desire. So, this is, you know, in the Vedic literature, in the Vedas, famous Vedas, most of it is called, I don't know the percentage, but near the 90% or so, 85 or maybe 95, I'm not sure, but very high percentage of the Vedas is called, is Kanda, means section, it's called Karma Kanda. So it's based of activities that people used to perform, sacrifices, you know, to obtain benefits, material benefits, a good son, or a good wife, or wealth, like that, different material benefits. They were worshipping different gods, you know, different demigods. But in general, material activity is based on material desire. This is what the sannyas order is about, you know.
So basically, you act on a spiritual desire to satisfy the Lord. So this is very, very high platform, because not many people are free from material desires. And to renounce all one's desires, it may be very difficult. So, but that is the goal, because when one has, do you know this verse? What is that verse that says that by contemplating this one verse in Bhagavad Gita, initial chapters, maybe Madhu will remember the name, the number. It is this verse I'm referring to is saying that by contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment for them. No, that's not the one. It's another one. It's a verse that explains that you need to experience a higher taste in order to give up a lower taste, isn't it? Otherwise, you just cannot. It's too difficult, you know? Because if you don't have something better that gives you some pleasure, then you cannot give up. Otherwise, it's too... I mean, in India, some sages used to go to the caves in the Himalayas there, and was very cold. You know this disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, Bon Maharaj? You heard about him? There was one disciple, in the 30s, he went to England and to Germany, actually. And he opened a center in London, and he also was preaching a little bit in Germany for not much, but maybe like 1 year or 2 years. And his name was Bon Maharaj. So he was disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta. I think I explained once you were here. And then that was before the Second World War, Nazi Germany. And they actually was invited by Adolf Hitler and other, I think it was Goebbels, I can't remember. But anyway, he went back to India. And when he was in London, before going back to India, when he was in London, he opened a center there with the famous Lord Shetland. You know, Prabhupada mentions that he was asking this aristocrat from India. He was the secretary of state of India before going back to London and opening. You know, because he was very much fascinated by the Sankirtan movement in Bengal, in Navadvip. He was in the streets of Navadvip, and there was Kirtan there. And he liked it very much, actually. He liked India. So then in London, he was the president there for some time. This Lord Shetland, Prabhupada mentions him because this Lord Shetland was asking Prabhupada, can you make me a Brahman? And then he replied, yes. And then you only need to give up this not eat four principles, not illicit. Please don't put the guitar. Sorry to tell you. Don't put it to the guitar in your mouth, if you don't mind. This is kind of, we follow center cleanliness. Don't mind. So, the idea is that he was telling him, actually, you have to follow four principles. And no illicit sex, no meat eating, intoxication and gambling. And then this Lord Shetland saying, impossible. Prabhupada mentions him, impossible. So this Lord Shetland, he was there in London, and then by that time, Bon Maharaj, this Prabhupada, this Bhaktisiddhanta disciple, sent an email. It was not an email. Sent a letter to his guru. There was no email by that time. Yes. So, like 40 pages later. Criticizing and how was his name? I cannot remember now. Right now his name. It was the manager of the Calcutta Center, the Gaudiya Math, the first Gaudiya Math. Actually, the first Gaudiya Math was in Calcutta, but before had another name in Navadvip, in Mayapur, like 2 years before. That was in 1920, if I'm right. And in 1922 was opened this Calcutta Center. I know because I was reading some time ago. This it was very interesting. This course Pranava Prabhu gave about Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati and modern Hinduism. So what I was saying is that the manager of this Calcutta center was very dear to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, because
he was helping him so much, you know, in the initial years. So this Bon Maras from London sent this 4 pages letter criticizing him like anything, you know, like anything. And then Bhaktisiddhanta, when read this letter, he was like very, very upset, you know, because it was very dear to him, you know, his manager there taking responsibility and pushing the mission so much. So then what Bhaktisiddhanta said is, 40 pages, then he was, he's a serpent, you know. I don't want to see him anymore, to Bon Maras. I don't want to see him anymore. So then what he did is he went to the Himalayas, these Bon Maras in the caves there, and it was so cold, and he struggled so much for maybe 1 year or more, you know. Until one night he had a dream about Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati coming to him and saying that he had in previous life, Bon Maras, committed offense to his guru. That's why he had this anartha. So in this life also offended Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. So anyway, I was saying this because in the Himalayas, there were people who were going to the Himalayas and performing austerities and renouncing the world. I don't want anything, you know, from this world. I just go and attain the Brahman or maybe practicing yoga, you know. Extreme austerities, you know, all the eightfold yoga system, you know. Mother was explaining in the morning, it's described in the Bhagavad Gita. Asana, pranayama, all the pratyahara, you know, the whole thing, eightfold up to reaching samadhi. So, but actually Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta also explain that this is called Palgu Vairagya. There is a river in India that there are places in this river, there are places where you look at the river and apparently there is no river. It's covered by sand, you know. But if you walk in there, you go down because there is water, you know, you fall into the water. So that's the palgu means falls. Renunciation is the same thing. Apparently you renounce the world, you go to the caves or wherever, but actually there is material desires are underneath, like this water. So real renunciation is actually engaging everything for Krishna's service. You want to preach, so anything, planes, microphones, any technology, anything, then you use it for Krishna. So of course, to serve the Lord, because actually everything is Krishna's energy. It's not that you see things separated from the Lord. Like we see things, we see these curtains, we see these walls, windows, whatever it is there. So this seeing different things separate from the Lord, like I do myself. So that is Maya. This is called Maya, means that which is not. So this is the mistake, this false renouncing, because to start with, you're not renouncing anything because nothing is yours. It's like, what am I renouncing, you know? It's like if I go to the supermarket and I say, I renounce everything. It is not mine, the supermarket is not mine, I'm not renouncing. So in the same way, this renounce, going to somewhere and renounce the world, is not yours. So it's better to use everything which is Krishna's in Krishna's service. So this requires a lot of advancement, actually. It requires a lot of, because most people, we are caught up in the false ego, you know. Basically an offense is false ego and all that. So it is advanced stage. It is advanced stage of a spiritual life. So this is the idea. But sannyas means that we are actually acting, basically everything that we do is spiritual. It's not material activities, you know. If you analyze what people do in the world, you see everyone is engaged materially. They work for who? For themselves, for their families. You can say, okay, I'm a politician, I work for my nation, you know.
I'm very, I don't care, I don't want any salary. You don't find many like that, but it could happen. You know, for example, saintly, like Mahatma Gandhi was called a saintly politician, or a politician among saints, right? Was very, very, very saintly person, very renounced. He was having very simple life, you know, eating, almost not cooking, practicing these different yogas and all that. But still, even that kind of personalities are very, very rare. But still, if it's not used for Krishna, it's kind of selfish, actually, because your nation, you know, you don't belong to that country. You're eternal. You've been many, many, many millions of lifetimes. So it is just a temporary circumstance. So sannyas means that to stop these material activities, because everything that we do, next birth, when you die, you get new birth according to the activities you've done, accrue. You know, this word accrue means accumulate. Whatever you've done, the results of your actions, you have to get them back. Good or bad, good karma, bad karma, but you're going to get them back. You're going to get a new body, again, new set of circumstances and happenings and things happening in your life. So when you renounce material activities, means that actually you are not going to, you're going to purify yourself so much that you don't, when you are completely pure, you don't have to take birth again. So, because what makes you take birth again are those material activities. By performing material activities, you get the reaction, which is the action and the reaction. So that's the idea. Therefore, it is very intelligent to renounce material activities. No? Therefore, the Vedas, the Vedic system, is that is for elevating the consciousness of everyone up to the level of bhakti. So, but you can see in chapter 12, Krishna is describing the bhakti yoga. So what the Lord is saying, just think about me, you know? You don't have to do anything else, just think about Krishna. So what's the problem? The problem is the mind is so powerful. And it's so, in most cases, it's very much full of anarthas and, you know, lust, greed, anger, all those things are there. So that what blocks you to think about Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says, okay, if you cannot do that, then it makes it easier. Practice regulative principles of bhakti yoga. If you cannot do that, then work for me, meditation, knowledge, you know. So it makes it easier and easier and easier. So the same thing with the Vedas. The Vedas is you have, for example, the Vedic sacrifices where you actually worshiping Indra, you know, and you get some rains, or you worship Sarasvati and you get some knowledge, and then you see, oh, well, actually it's working, you know, yes, I'm getting the results. Therefore, I develop faith in some gods. You know, because we have material desires, but then by associating with the priest and seeing that is actually this is, and reading the scriptures, reading the Vedas, then actually you realize that this is working. So next stage is that you are actually the next stage is karma yoga, isn't it? Karma yoga means that you are working whatever you do in your varna. You know, varna, like your activity, whatever profession you have. You do that for the Supreme. You do that for the Supreme, and then you have. There are different levels of karma yoga, full of desires, sakama karma yoga, and then you have niskama karma yoga, which is free from desires, and that's very high. Free from desires, niskama karma yoga. Most people are not there. So it's a gradual elevation, you know, and then you have the renouncers, you know, that they renounce this world. Especially there was around 2,500 years ago, if I remember well, and in India there was a very, with the Upanishads,
and there were many people who realized actually that these worldly aims of the Vedas, these worldly means that focus on this we're talking about, all these material, you know, desires. So this is not all in all. This renounce these Vedas, this just renounce the world and find the Brahman, which is the supreme, and then we have the Atman in the heart, we are the soul, so the Atman and the soul are spiritual, let's forget material activities. So then you have all this, also this, so it's a gradual different processes, so, but the aim, topmost aim, is bhakti, to develop this Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada gave us, we don't have to do all these things, basically what it is just chanting Hare Krishna and avoid offenses, you know, and in this way all the purposes of the Vedas automatically come, and all the different types of yoga automatically are included, because yoga, as I was explained this morning, means to unite with Krishna or to love Krishna, right? So that's the idea, that you don't need anything else. So I don't know if you have any comments or any questions or.
Yeah, I was wondering if the other forms of yoga also accept this order.
Yeah, for example, Jnana Yoga was Shankaracharya is the main exponent, prominent figure. Acharya is said as an incarnation of Lord Shiva in these sides of Kali to propagate impersonalism. So these Sankaritas or Advaitins, as they are called. I think it's I don't remember exactly. I think it's the ninth century or the 12th. I don't remember right now. But basically, Shankaracharya, what he established were mats, mainly in cities, and there were this great emphasis on sannyas. These mats. Basically, there is this call the Jagat Guru, the Guru of the whole universe, and they basically what they do, the system that they have, is they repeat scripture, parts of a scripture, and they try to clear the consciousness of any material conception, any duality, because they think the Brahman, the absolute undivided Brahman, is Nirguna Brahman. Do you know this Nirguna? Nirguna Brahman means without qualities. Mm-hmm. So they are killing Krishna. They just believe in the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. So they try to reach that. This is the wrong goal. It's the wrong goal because is very troublesome, you know, because there's no personal relationship. So basically what they try to do is just they try to clear the mind. They have what is called Mahavakyas. You know Mahavakyas? Mahavakyas means great, Maha. Vakya is the same root that we say Uva, Cha, Cha, this Cha, Cha, Vak. Mahavakya means great saying. So they have mainly four great Mahavakyas. And one of them is Aham Brahmasmi, another one means Aham Brahmasmi means I am a spirit. Tattvamasi means you are that, you are Brahman, and they have two more. So basically the idea is that they try to clear the all your thoughts, because what they say is that Brahman is anirvachaniya, means is free from any designation. Brahman is not with color, not without color. Brahman is not all the qualities, is not, nor yes, nor not. No, is not neti neti, you know? So you have to clear all these concepts and reach Supreme Consciousness, which is Supreme Bliss and Supreme Knowledge, but you cannot describe, they say, anirvachaniya. It's just a spirit, and then it's like when you have one pot full of air, you break the pot, and the air inside this pot, let's say clay pot or whatever, merges into the totality of the air. So they think that the consciousness, the soul, us, once you break all these material conceptions, the soul merges into the totality of the soul. That's why it's called oneness. It's just one, the supreme, you know. Mm-hmm. So this is what they're trying to do. So they repeat certain scriptural passages. You know, they repeat all over and over and over, so they can actually grasp this very deeply, import, and then they believe that they have to do this, you know. So, and some of them practice bhakti yoga, they chant Govinda, Mukunda, Murari, all this, but then, and they have guru. They have guru, sannyas, you are God, I am God, everyone is God. But the scriptures and the guru, they reject. Once the goal is obtained, they reject guru and the scriptures. So it's like a tool, huh? Mm-hmm. It's like a stairs, you have to go to the top, to the floor, up there, you go, change whatever. And then you once you are there, you throw the stairs, you throw the guru. So, basically, for the Vaishnava, it's not like this, because the guru is very wonderful and very respected. It should be. This is the ideal, and it's eternally. It's not that you use your guru for your own convenience or the scriptures, because the scriptures are Krishna. So it's not that you use that to make you great. But what makes you great is that you respect the guru. So, and we have to walk the talk. But yeah, this is the idea. And they have this sannyas order. But I don't know, in other traditions, yoga tradition. Yeah, I think they have, because I've seen these Shivanandas and all that.
Yeah.
The yoga, for example, yoga, the Ashtanga yoga, they have also this. They follow certain gurus, you know? Certain gurus, like, you find some ashram, they can practice there. Yeah, and then, yeah. Basically, everything is about gurus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly about sannyas. Definitely in the Jnana Yoga tradition there is sannyas, and others, I don't know. Any other, you can criticize also. Anything else? Can throw eggs, tomatoes. Any comments, or I need 2,000 euros?
Yeah, that verse that was
to pay the college, huh?
259.
Yes, 259. Yeah.
Visaya vini vartante.
That's the one.
Anira harasha dehina. That means something like though the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, the taste for sense object remains. And then it says, rasa vajam raso pyasya param drishtva
nivartate. Si.
The last sentence that you should know, param drishtva
nivartate. Param means supreme, yeah. Drishtva nivartate, renounce, giving up. No experience.
No, yeah, but the thing is param drishtva.
Param drishtva. Higher taste. Param drishtva nivartate. So we need a higher experience, you know, in order to give up the lower. You can basically you cannot give up sex life or any other enjoyment, the mundane world, if you don't have bhakti. If you don't have devotion, you cannot give up, because the body is demanding, you know, the body is wanting, you know, now I want this and now I want that. So all these material desires are very strong, very strong. So to control these desires, the mind, the whole thing about yoga is controlling the mind, you know. Because the mind is very powerful and is the center of all the senses. So the senses want to be satisfied. So the Lord is called Rishikesh. Rishikesh is one name of Krishna. So Rishikesh, Isha, Rishikesha is the Lord of the senses. So it means that he can control our senses. He can do. But the only thing we have to do is to surrender to him. The only thing. So, very easy. Just do it. What is the difficulty? So it's no difficulty, just have to surrender unto Krishna, you know, and then he can control your senses. Because by your own strength it's very difficult, you know. It's very difficult, especially in this Kali Yuga. You know, it's very Kali Yuga, it's very, very Kali Yuga. You know, it's very strong, it's a big muscles. You cannot do it. So it is recommended to take shelter of a spiritual master. That is a whole issue, to have a spiritual master. The main thing here is that you cannot actually attain God, bhakti, without a spiritual master. It is very clear. I just wrote my dissertation about this, which was a very, very difficult experience for me. But yes, basically what it is very recommended that, I mean, we continue tomorrow because our bhajaniyas are here, so I went too strict to the, it's one of the austerities of the body, no? To eat Ena, 8:50. No, it's just okay. But okay, so thank you for your kind attention. Jai Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai.
I told you that you were the most fanatic from all of us.